Hello.
Oh, ready, Mr. President. There you are.
George.
Yes, sir.
I tried to reach you, but they said that you were out. I thought I'd better talk back through you, although I would be glad to talk to our friend, but our man might not understand that he had called me, and it's all right for you to call me. He knew you had called me, but I didn't tell him the other fellow had called me, and so I just didn't want him to think I was playing games with him. And I had a long talk with him. He is interested in it, but he has obligations that concern him deeply. He's going to New York today. He's going to talk to a lot of these people. And he's going to talk to the other man. He may have already, I don't know. I spent, I guess, an hour and a half with him last night. I did not pressure him. He started out talking to me, and he brought it up to me. So I didn't have to tell him that the fellow had called me at all. I immediately told him that I thought that he would be expert at it, and he would do it well, and I'd be very happy to, if he felt like he could do it, that I thought it would be good for the country, and that I always wanted to help the other president, because people had generally helped me to get the people I wanted, and where I had been efficient, made mistakes, it's because I couldn't get good troops. And he said that he was honored by it, that he wanted to work with him, and he would try to conduct himself like I did with Eisenhower, and like Eisenhower has with me, and not spend the time carping and being personal, that he owed several million dollars, that he was going to meet with a group of them that had borrowed the money today, that he had planned to go take some assignment to some school and do some lecturing to make a living. He gets a pension of a little bit, and that he was going to live out home, that he rather doubted that he would like to live up there and be confined to New York. He didn't know who was going to be Secretary of State, didn't know what the policy would be. That gave me reason to believe that he had some doubts, although he didn't say to me that he was not going to or that he was going to. He listened to what I said, and cooperatively and nicely, but he wound up by saying that he had to talk to these people today, and that he didn't know how he was going to get the party out of, they're running several hundred thousand a month, and over the committee that they've added, Larry and them, and that he owes 5 or 6 million, and several men have signed notes and lent their own money, and they've done it on basis him, and he's just walking out of here and kind of turned it over to Teddy or somebody. He just couldn't quite see through that in any government position now, and that was about the net of the conversation. When he went out the door, I said, now, I can't make this assignment to you, but I think you've been a wonderful vice president. I believe you'd make the best United Nations spokesman and the world spokesman we have ever had, television and so forth, and I'm sure this man would back you, because I know that he wants to have a bipartisan administration, and he's doing that with me, and I'm telling every secretary that I have. I thought I gave a very off the record, not quotation, but they can, not the attribution, but it's a backgrounder yesterday, the UP, and they got into this Nixon thing a great deal. And I went into some detail, and I read him a little of it, showing how I felt about how we ought to work. And I said, he's a pilot of a ship, and he's going across the water, and we're all passengers on it, and I've got little Lynn in my lap. Right. His daddy's out in Vietnam, and I'm holding him, and I got my little granddaughter in the other lap, Lady Bird has. And we run into a damn black electrical storm, and the radar tells his pilot to go up, and he goes up, and he can't get out of it, and go down, and he can't get out of it. And we all get hysterical, and we run up and knock the door down and go to pinching him, and and slamming him and putting pins in his seat, hitting his co-pilot and hitting him. And it doesn't take long for that 707 to go down 17,000 feet and hit that water, and we're all gone then. Now, what advantage is it to us to give him hell? Why don't we wait until he lands 4 years from now and go out there and campaign, say we could fly it faster and better, but let's don't do it these 4 years. And he kind of agreed with it, and so he's in that frame of mind. My judgment is he's not going to take it. I would not, could not say that. I think a lot, I think if he were told that his greatest friend in the world would be Secretary of State and that he would have freedom to enunciate policies, which I don't think any UN ambassador will have or should have, I think that he might change, although I rather doubt it. I rather think that he thinks he owes all this money, he's got all this organization, that he wants to hold it together, and my guess is he's going to run for Senate out there. He said that he wasn't out of politics. I said, well, you're going to run for Senate? He said, I love the Senate. And said, I don't know, but said, I want to stay there.
Yeah. I told him that this fellow had told me that if he wanted to do that in 2 years, that this fellow would be certain that no responsible Republican ran against him.
Mm-hmm.
He would do this for 2 years, but he couldn't, of course, guarantee a damn thing. But he said, I sure as hell won't be for the other fellow and or for any Republican. And he threw that in the pot. I told our friend that.
I'll tell you, I don't know what he does. I don't know what he'll do. He'll just have to see, and I don't want to be nominating.
Right.
But I don't think he can get this man.
Yeah.
But he is going to get in trouble in foreign relations unless he gets a very unusual man. Secretary of State, Undersecretary, or United Nations. They're so few and rare. And particularly in his party, because they don't look upon this thing as I think they should. But he has selected the best man, my judgment, available in this country, except Rusk, to work down here. And if he could get him to go to the United Nations, he would be exceptional. Murphy would. I tried to get him. I offered him the job before I did Ball.
Yeah.
I pled with him, and he just said that he was there with Corning, and he didn't think he could. I owe him nothing. I don't know him except just sit in meetings. I never had a social date with him, but he is he's with Clark Clifford's board, and he was on it with, I guess, back in the maybe the Eisenhower days, and certainly the all through Kennedy and through mine. And he is, I would put him second to Rusk in ability.
Yeah.
I just say that. He ought to know he was offered it and turned down the United Nations ship. Now, I hope that if he wants him and Hubert wants it, that this works out. But the way I gathered it, if I had to flip a coin, I would say he's not going to do it.
Right.
And if he's not, I wouldn't mess with him. I'd just try to get the best man I can. I do think it, as his friend, that he ought to insist as quickly as he can that he get a man here for Rostow's place, whoever's going to be his top man in the White House and whoever's going to be his top man at State and Defense. Because I just don't believe a man in 30 days can possibly take it and run it. I don't think you can fly 707 in 30 days.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have flights, you better get in there. Now, he'll have men with experience, but he doesn't know all these things that are coming up. I'm meeting now in a kind of an emergency meeting with Fowler, Rusk, Clifford, Bill Martin, and all of them on the devaluation of the franc. In addition to that, I've got a dozen new cables in on South Vietnam and North Vietnam, shot down a reconnaissance plane this morning, and 10 Israelis were killed yesterday in the Middle East. The Soviets are talking about going into Romania. If they go in there like they did Czechoslovakia, the question is, what do we do when they go in there in Yugoslavia? Do we sit here and let them take all Eastern Europe on the heel or what? Now, all those things are happening every second.
Right.
And those three men ought to be known, and if you'll select men of competence,
right,
we'll turn them over everything to help them. A matter of fact, you remember Woodrow Wilson wrote Lansing and said if Hughes is elected, as he thought he might very well be, that he believed he'd talk to the vice president and get him to resign, and he and the vice president resigned instead of waiting until March. They'd appoint Hughes Secretary of State, and then the Secretary of State would become president, so the country wouldn't be in that danger during that period. That was during the World War I.
Yeah.
That didn't happen because Wilson carried California.
Right.
And we've moved up March to January the
20th.
But it wouldn't have been, it'd be wiser if they took over November the 6th.
Right.
Because this is very difficult, this period. And you know, when I made the decision on Vietnam, I had a treaty that they had signed 82-1 telling me to do it. And I got a Tonkin Gulf resolution, said you're directed to deter aggression. I got it 504-2, and even with that, they turned on me. Now, a fella gets in over there now on any of these things, the Middle East, you got no treaty, you got nothing.
Right.
And if you don't get in, it's too late. So it's a very precarious and dangerous situation. And these boys always take advantage of it.
Right.
And I think that every time he can, my mail shows universal approval. I haven't received one criticism, and I've had more compliments of the president-elect and myself than I've ever had before on his statement out here saying that we were going to be united. And I think every time that he can say that Murphy is following everything and he is aware of it and he's keeping right up with everything and that there's no division on these things and going to be none until January the 20th, the better it is, because that doesn't give the Russians any encouragement. They moved in to the Cuban Missile Crisis came October 22nd, just a few days before our election.
Yeah.
They do everything, and this bunch of fools that moved in and got to South Vietnam not to go to the conference because of Nixon. They just screwed up everything, and it's taken us 3 or 4 weeks. And I didn't expose it because I just couldn't use those sources, and I didn't want to make it impossible for him to govern. I think if I had said to the country that this is and exposed this, brought it out, I think it would have shocked the country so that he would have been seriously hurt. And so I just told you, and he told Erickson, and got it kind of back on the track again.
Right.
But that damn woman is still messing around, causing trouble. That Ms. Chenault.
Anna Chenault, yeah. All right, well, that's very informative, and I'll pass it on to fellow New York and tell him what you've said and what you said to the other fellow. And I'm sure he appreciated it. And I'll also tell him that you think I told him this before, but I'll emphasize it. It's very important that he gets somebody down there with you and your people soon. Forthwith, as a matter of fact.
I think that it's more important than his secretaries or anything else, if he can find it, so that they can start doing it. And if he could get this fellow to do anything, I'd do it.
Right.
Murphy.
Right.
And I'm not recommending as a Democrat. I don't know what he is,
right.
If he's anything. Another man I think is superior, that if he could get anywhere he ought to do it, which I doubt he can, is the fellow in Moscow, Tommy Thompson.
Yeah.
He told me that he considered him the best man in the service, as do I.
Yeah.
And that's where his problem is. So.
Right.
You and I are not going to be worth a damn if we have a big depression and getting another war, and what won't amount to a dime. They'll make us go back to camp or something. So we've got to help every way we can. I'm going to. I'm not going to get in anything that holds back a second if they just trust me, and if they don't hit at me and don't. Old Hugh Scott this morning, he says that Johnson called a bombing halt to affect the election, and he knows that's not so. I had no control when I called it. I told Nixon on the 16th I might do it in 5 minutes,
yeah.
Because as soon as they take up my offer, I had to do it. I can't let them get out.